I want to talk on this subject today. We need to hear from you. We need to hear from you, Lord, an old gospel song. And I want you to go back with me 2,500 years into history. Going back now 2,500 years to the book of Nehemiah that celebrates this great word of God that we celebrate here every Sunday. And I hope that you're going to find out with me that there are some important similarities to what we're doing today, and also some important instructions on the glory of the Word of God and this great prayer that we need to hear from you, O Lord. Did you come today ready to hear from the Lord? The first thing I want you to notice in this reading is that there is a hunger for the Word of God. A hunger. It says here in the text that all the people gathered as one person into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe, "Bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord gave to Israel." So they're all gathered. Look around, church. We're gathered. We're not at the Watergate. We're over here on East Capitol Street. The Watergate's over there near the river. And of course, there was a Watergate 2,500 years ago in the city of Jerusalem. Now, I want to give you some background. The people are all gathered and they're saying, "Please bring us the Word of God." Because, brothers and sisters, back in the year 587 BC, the people of Israel had fallen away from the practice of their faith. They were not keeping the feast of the Lord. They were not living the commandments of God. And they became depraved. They became weak. And their enemies, the Babylonians, because of their weakened condition of Israel, the Babylonians were easily able to conquer Jerusalem. And an unthinkable thing happened to the people of Jerusalem, that God stepped back and allowed Jerusalem to be taken and the temple to be destroyed. And those who survived the war, when the Babylonians invaded and conquered Israel, those who survived the war were all carried off into exile into Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. And there they were, living in exile in the country of Iraq, Babylon. And for 80 years, God kept them in exile to purify them. And he sent them prophets who explained to them how they had departed from God's teachings, how they had not heard and heeded the word of God. And Jeremiah and Isaiah and some of the other prophets began to teach them that God would rescue them, but first they had to purify themselves. And after 80 years, two generations, the Persians conquered the Babylonians. By the way, those are what we call today the Iranians. So the Iranians conquered the Iraqis. And Cyrus, the king of the Persians, said to the people of Israel, "It is my policy now to let you go back to the land of Israel and settle there again. And I will even help you to rebuild the city." And many went back with joy, and they began to rebuild. And now, here we are, 2,500 years ago, and they've just finished rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They've made initial efforts to begin to rebuild the temple. And all the people come together and they gather. Now, church, they had gotten so far away from the Word of God that they had actually lost some of the books. Couldn't even find them. But finally, someone discovered the one missing book. And it was the book of Deuteronomy, which the text here calls the law that Moses wrote. The book of Deuteronomy had finally been rediscovered. You might say that their Bibles had gotten so dusty that they couldn't even find them. Someone finally dusted off a book and they found the book of Deuteronomy. Praise the Lord. And the people now gather and they say, "We're hungry to hear this word which has been lost for over 80 years. Ezra, the priest, please go and get us the book of the law of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, and read it to us. Our ears are open. We're hungry to hear the word of God." Are you hungry? They're hungry for the word of God. And so it is, brothers and sisters, that Ezra brings forth the scroll. And I have it on the best of authority that as Ezra brought forth that scroll of the book of Deuteronomy, they broke out into a gospel song. They started singing, "We need to hear from you, O Lord. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting you more each day, oh, show us your perfect way. There is no other way that we can live. We need to hear from you." Oh, they sang that gospel song. And the scroll was brought forward. So the first thing I want you to notice is the hunger that they have for the Word of God. The first teaching today about the Word of God is that you need to be hungry. I said hungry for the Word of God. And now it is that we go on and we see the next stage of this reading, where it talks about the hearing of the Word of God. Now it says here that Ezra the priest brought forth the law, the book of Deuteronomy in other words, before the whole assembly, both the men and the women and all the children who could hear with understanding. And it was the first day of the seventh month. And he read facing the square before the water gate. Listen to this now. From early morning until midday. That's about 6 in the morning till noon. Pay attention, church. That was a 6-hour sermon. Don't tell me that I preached too long. You're getting off easy. You're getting off easy. 6 hours with the Word of God. From 6 in the morning until midday, it says that the Word of God was proclaimed and preached in the midst of the men and the women and those children who could understand. In the ears of all, and the ears, as it says here, the ears of all the people were attentive to the law and the book that was proclaimed. And Ezra stood in a wooden pulpit. He stood in a wooden pulpit that was made for the purpose. You see, church, we're not just making this stuff up, are we? Well, let's put some furniture around here. Let's see here. Let's put up a tall stand. No, church, this goes way back. Amen? We're doing the same thing that they did 2,500 years ago. Now, we won't be 6 hours, but again, just take note, we're following the example that God himself gave us, amen? So first of all, they're gathered, they're hungry, and now they're ready to hear. And for 6 hours, they spend with the Word of God. And it says they listened attentively. Now we'll get to that in a minute, but take note, first of all, that they are assembled. They are assembled. I want to repeat that one more time because it's important. They are assembled. You see, brothers and sisters, there are some people who think that the Word of God is just ink spots on the page of a book that they can read privately. And it is. Praise God. Are you glad that God gave you the Bible? And that God gave you an ability to read? But you know, up until about 100 years ago, most people could not read. There were certain people who were skilled and able to read, but the average person didn't know how to read. One of the reasons we priests are sometimes called clerics is that we were able to taught to read. But the average person was not. And so the way they experienced the Word of God was by hearing it in the assembly of God's people. And so it is that this pattern remains for us. Even though most of us in this congregation can read, still, I hope you understand something. You got to hear the Word. You can't just read the Word. You got to hear. I said you got to hear the Word. Now, I want to tell you that my experience in celebrating the Word of God in the liturgical assembly that we call church is very different than my private reading. And I say, praise the Lord. Because you know what happens when we're reading privately? Okay, understand. Yeah. Oh, I know this passage.
Sure. Okay, fine.
And our own voice in our head is reading it back. And even if you read it slowly and devotedly, it's still your own voice. You're just reinforcing your own understanding of the text. You get it? Now, that's not bad, but it's incomplete. Because I want you to notice today that as our two lectures were reading, I heard these readings in a way I've never heard them before. By the way, that's in a good way. Praise the Lord. Because, you see, the Holy Spirit working in them and also in the deacon who proclaimed the gospel had them to emphasize certain words that I'd never emphasized before. Had them pause at certain places where I haven't paused before. Had them speak in a tone of voice that I don't, when I read it for myself, don't do. And so I heard things about this word that I've never heard before. And then the choir sang. And I heard the psalm like I've never heard the psalm before. Your words, O Lord, are spirit and life. Praise the Lord. Church, and I thought about it as they were singing, aha, an aha moment. Aha. The words of God are not just ink spots on a page. They are that, but they are spirit and life. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is proclaimed. The Word of God is in the heart and the mind of real living human beings. And the Word of God needs to be experienced as being alive in the community. Are you praying? Don't think that you can just do devotional reading and think you've heard the Word of God. And I hope that I'm docile enough to God that He's able to make use of me and that you're able to hear things about this reading that never occurred to you. In fact, you might not have ever occurred to you to even read the book of Nehemiah or pay much attention to it. It seems to many people to be kind of a minor book. Oh, yeah, that. But let me get to the Gospels and we pass over. But you see, somehow today the Lord said to me, you know, stop there and teach them out of that. And so you come today to hear something that you might not have gotten all by yourself. Are you praying? So I'm getting stuff that I wouldn't have gotten, and you're getting stuff that you wouldn't have gotten, and praise the Lord. That's what we've got to assemble. Don't just talk about your private relationship. Have that. But remember, the Lord gave you some brothers and sisters too. And we need to hear a word from God through one another. So there's an assembly. We've already made note of the amount of time, so I need to move on. 6 hours. And if I don't move on, we're getting towards that. Now, not only is there a hunger for the Word of God, and not only is there an attentive hearing of the Word of God, but church, there is an honor that is given to the Word of God. An honor. It says here, As Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people, look how high up here I am, and he opened it, and all the people, it says, stood. Just like you did a few moments ago when the deacon brought this book over here and he opened it and you all stood. And then you said something. You said it in Hebrew. You said, hallelujah. You sang, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. It says, the text here says, as Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, when he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people shouted, amen, amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord. And they prostrated and put their faces to the ground. Now, we call it kneeling today, but they went right flat on the ground. Thank the Lord, there's too many of us to all do that here, so we'll kneel later. But you see the idea, church, amen? Now, I want you to notice the honor that they're giving to the Word of God. You know, I go into some Catholic churches. I haven't been to too many Protestant churches on a Sunday, but I've certainly been to more than a few Catholic churches on a Sunday. And I want you to know something. In some of those churches, you would never know that Jesus had risen from the dead. And as the Word of God is being proclaimed, people are looking around, digging in their purse, reading the bulletin, writing checks. Go ahead. That's good. HCSC. Now, but they're not really paying attention. Think about it for a minute. When Joe and Loretta read the reading, they didn't say, word of Loretta. They said, the word of the Lord. And you said, thanks be to God. Hallelujah, church. That means that when they were speaking, God was speaking. And when the deacon came up here, he didn't say, word of Cyrus. He said, the gospel of the Lord. And you said, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Because it wasn't Deacon Cyrus who spoke, it was Jesus who spoke. You see the vision? If God is speaking, don't you think we ought to pay attention? If God is saying something to us, I darn well think we'd better pay attention. And so again, as the word is proclaimed, some people close their eyes and they listen carefully. Others look attentively. Some, not only do they listen attentively, but they even vocalize how attentive they are, because they say, mm-hmm, yes, amen. And as the people do here, as Ezra is proclaiming the word, they shout, amen, amen. Now, I know we're all a little different. Not everybody likes to jump pews and get happy. Some of us are more quiet. And that's all right, but whatever you do, make sure you're paying attention. Do not dishonor the Word of God by looking around, writing checks, or looking at watches, reading bulletins. Okay. Now, I know our minds are very weak. We struggle, amen? But again, please pay attention. Attend, wherever possible, to the Word of God. So give it honor, the honor that is due the Word of God. And it says they stand. It says they prostrate. It says they shout amen. It says that they're attending and they're signaling Ezra that as he preaches, they're listening and they're learning and they're affirming the Word of God. That's all right to say amen. It's all right to say amen, amen. So again, this is the way we honor the Word of God. But be careful. You know, you sometimes go into a church and you're looking around and it's like bored believers. A bunch of distracted disciples. Some cold Christians. The frozen chosen. I hope you're hungry for the Word of God. I hope you come to hear the Word of God, and I hope you have come to honor the Word of God. Amen. Well, I need to start wrapping up, but there's 2 points, and try to wrap them up because I see the clock is moving right along, and we don't want to head for that 6-hour mark yet. But I want you to know something. It says here in the text that Ezra had some help in proclaiming the Word of God. And I've already made note of it, so let's just mention this point quickly. But I want to acknowledge that my preaching of the Word of God is never a solo act. The text here says that not only was Ezra the priest preaching, but it also says that he had some Levites. Now, I don't want to simplify things too much, but Levites were a little bit like the deacons today. They assisted the high priest. They assisted the main priest. And they were priests properly understood, but they kind of were in an assistant role. So he had here, it says, Ezra had some Levites who also helped the people to understand the law while the people were in their places. And they read from the book, from the law, and from God, and they read the reading clearly, it says, and they gave the sense so that the people could understand the reading. And again, God bless our lectors, our deacon. God bless those who proclaim the word. But it's not just the lectors who participate in helping me to proclaim the word. It's the choir. It's the ushers who welcomed you and said, "Peace be with you," and showed you to your place and welcomed you in Christ's name. It's our servers, it's our choir, it's so many of us who are involved in this great, great work of the Word of God. In fact, I have the feeling that you may not remember much of what I say sometimes, but by gosh, when that choir gets to going, they'll put a word in your heart that you can never forget. Amen? And I praise God, because I'm not alone. I don't have to pull this thing off by myself. We're all together. And I want you to finally notice that you also participate in the proclamation of the word. How? By once again responding and interacting. One of the things I really love about preaching in the predominantly African-American parishes is that there's a back and forth while the preaching's going on. I see some nods and I hear some amens, and there's a amen. It's a group effort, amen? I'm not just up here preaching and everyone's kind of like, you're with me. And I praise God for that. And so together we're celebrating this word. So there's a hunger, there's a hearing, there's an honor, there's a help unto the word of God. And finally, I want just to say this to you. There is a heeding of the word of God. Church, you can honor God. You can get happy in church. You can celebrate. You can help the preacher. You can sing, you can read. You can do all that stuff. But if you miss this last point, you miss it all. You got to heed what the Word of God says. Now, one of the things they discovered 2,500 years ago is that they were not keeping some of the feast of the Lord. They had fallen away from Sabbath observances. They had fallen away from celebrating the high holy days. They had stopped going to church, basically. They were not properly honoring God on God's day, and they were not properly honoring God on His holy days. And so it is that they go on to describe, and I don't have time to read because some of it goes past what we read today in the reading, but they go on to talk about a number of the feasts, and one feast that was coming soon was the Feast of Booths, and they were supposed to get ready for it. But again, in the end, what Ezra says to them, and the Levites as well, is you need to keep the feast of the Lord. And I have it on the best of authority that they broke out into a gospel song. They said, "Come on over here where the table is spread, and the feast of the Lord is going on." They said, "You got to keep holy the Lord's feast." And so they go on, and it says here in the text, because the people started weeping. They said, "If only we had kept the feast of the Lord, if only we had listened to His word in the sacred assembly and applied it in our life, if only we had been keeping holy the feast of the Lord, maybe we wouldn't have had to go into exile for 80 years. and they were weeping. But Ezra said to them, "Listen, don't look back, look up, and understand that the Lord God loves you." Now he says, let's start today. He said, today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sorrowful, do not weep, for today is a feast of the Lord. Today is holy. Rejoice with the Lord. Celebrate with God. Do not neglect the feast of the Lord. Amen? I'm looking out and I'm seeing that all of you made it to the Lord's feast today. You heard this instruction. Hallelujah. You have heard that a voice deep in your heart when the alarm clock rang and you, like me, just said, "I'm sleeping in. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't even know what day this is. Leave me alone." But a voice deep down inside of you said, "Do not sleep. Do not weep. Today is holy to the Lord your God. You must rejoice, and rejoicing in the Lord has got to be your strength. So come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come and rejoice with the Lord." And you overcame gravity and you got up. And you got showered and shaved or whatever and you got over here. Praise God. And you're keeping the feast of the Lord. Now, the attendance looks good today. I'm praising God for that. But I want you to know something. There's still some empty pews. And we all know somebody. And usually it's not just somebody. It's a lot of folks who ought to be keeping Feast of the Lord. But they're not. Go tell somebody. Today is holy to the Lord your God. Let rejoicing in the Lord be your strength. Do not neglect to keep the festivals of the Lord. Come and go with me to my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. So it is, they got in a lot of trouble, didn't they? 80 years of exile in a ruined city because they weren't keeping the feast of the Lord and were not heeding his commandments. And so the Lord is simply asking you and me to heed this word. I'm asking you. I'm glad you're all here this morning, and most of you are here every Sunday morning. Some of you, off and on, here and there, recommit. Today, every Sabbath, every Sunday is holy to the Lord your God. Be here at your post. Do not neglect to be in God's house, because the only strength you have is rejoicing in the Lord. And if you're not rejoicing and you're not at the festival of the Lord, you won't have your strength. What part of "Do this in remembrance of me" do you not understand? What part of "unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you" do you not understand? If that applies to anyone here, I just simply ask you, hear carefully. And don't just honor the word of God with your lips and with lifted hands and amens, but honor the word of God by heeding the word of God. And then many of you don't need to hear what I just said because you're here, and I want you to know something. Go tell somebody. You can't just honor God with your lips. Don't just say, "I'll be with you in spirit." You got to be here in flesh. Rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. And so it is, 2,500 years ago, they gathered and they sang a gospel song. They said, "Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to hear from you. If we don't hear from you, what shall we do?" And the Lord spoke to them. And they did hear from God. And God said, "Keep the feast of the Lord. And rejoicing in the Lord will be your strength." Because when you keep the feast of the Lord, when I do that, he teaches us his word. And his word becomes flesh at the altar. And we receive his body and his blood. And we have our strength to get through this week. Lord, we need to hear. Well, guess what, church? We just did. Lord, we need to hear from you. What shall we do? Let rejoicing in the Lord be your strength. Amen.